Tonight, let me go get, I left my notes on the table here. Let me get my notes. It's a message of encouragement. I know as a believer, I need encouragement, and I know everyone else, born of woman, is flesh and blood too, and can be tempted and needs encouragement as well. You know, the Word of God needs to be dispensed like food. You can't eat one meal and then forevermore you're sustained and have no hunger. It don't work that way. You need to eat daily. You can't fuel up your vehicle and then forevermore drive it. Wouldn't that be nice, huh? It don't work that way. Every week I got to fill it up again. And I don't even drive that much. And every day, or I should say every night, I have to sleep again. It would be nice to sleep 8 hours and run for a year. That would be nice, but it don't work that way. I have to get my rest and get my sleep every night. So like they say, it's like a battery charging a battery, so that I'll be fully charged the next day and ready for all the tasks at hand. Well, in the same way, we have to have a regular daily dose of the Word of God, because we're in a battle, and that's tonight's message. It's called The Battle. And we're in a battle, and the battle is waged against your flesh. And it's waged by, as the Bible tells us, by our enemy, the devil, Satan himself. And he wages this war through temptation. And only through resisting the temptation are we going to walk in victory. It is nice when you hear testimonies where somebody who was whatever, a drug addict, alcoholic or something, and they say, God, just remove that desire out of my heart. Well, you know, that's nice. But most of the time, it don't work that way. Most of the time, you have to say no, because you now follow Christ and not the sinful desires of the world or the desires of your heart that are sinful. So how do we sustain that? It's really great when you go to church on Sunday morning and the praise and worship is going, and as believers, we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we feel on corporate worship the presence of God stirring, and we're just motivated to obey Him. Nobody's saying, give me some booze, I want to get drunk. Nobody's like, let's get into sin. We're like, glory to God. Sin has no hold on me now. I'm in the presence of God. And you know, one of the things that I've always noticed about being in the presence of God, and I'm sure all believers do, is that your heart is totally satisfied. It's like, you have no desire. At that moment, you have no desire. Your heart is totally satisfied. And then we're kind of like leaky vessels, because we leave the church service. Our focus is gone off of God now, and it's on whatever our daily responsibilities are. And then an hour later or whatever, you're like, why do I feel dry now? You think back to 10 o'clock in the morning when you're in church. The presence of God filled my heart, and it was so wonderful to be in this presence, and the joy was overwhelming, and now I don't feel that anymore. What happened? Well, that's an example to show you the contrast of what being in the Word can do for you. It will give you the strength by being in God's joy and peace in His presence to say no to sin, and then being in the world where you don't feel His presence anymore, but we're still the same person. He's still with us. Now, that's something that we need to always remember, that no matter if we feel God's presence or doesn't feel God's presence, He's still with us, because the Lord tells us that he would never forsake us or leave us. He says that he is with us. He tells us in John, the book of John, in the 14th chapter, I believe it is. But anyway, he tells his disciples that he's leaving them, but he won't abandon them as orphans. He'll send another in his place, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he said, the world won't know him, but you will know him because he lives in you, and you'll be in him as well. So we have the Spirit of God in us, and he's with us whether we feel his presence or not. But when we're in his presence, there's a strength and a power to say no to Satan's temptations. And that's what I want you to key in on. That's what I want you to remember, because the battle is constant. And as long as you're in the flesh, and we're born in the flesh as a child, and we'll die in the fleshly body. It's a house for our spirit. And as long as we're in this flesh, we will have temptation. So, after making that little brief announcement, let's look at the scripture today. We're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 12 is going to be the main verse, but we're also going to look at I'm going to read the rest of those verses. I'm going to read, it goes up to the 21 verses in chapter 1 of, chapter 6. But we're going to go from chapter 6, verse 12 to verse 21. Okay. Let me pull it up here. And so this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging him to fight the good fight. And let me find where I'm at. Okay, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give you charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep his commandments without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus. I just want to pause there for a second. He says, you keep them until the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Well, in other words, you keep them forevermore, his commandments, because you don't get to give them up when the Lord Jesus shows up. But you know why he's saying that to the Lord Jesus? Because after that, there's not going to be a temptation of a fleshly body. We'll have new bodies. And so we won't have to battle that temptation from Satan to sin again. But what these new bodies are going to be like, Jesus said, he gave a little insight to it. He said it's going to be like the angels. You might remember that scripture verse when somebody asked him about marriage in heaven, and he said that we're going to be like the angels, so we won't be given in marriage. So can they be tempted? Well, I'm not sure. But this is what I do know, is that this physical body can be tempted to sin, and Apostle Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue in keeping the commandments of God because of that reason. Now, if Timothy, a pastor, has to be encouraged to do it, then I think we all, because I can pretty much guarantee it that pastors try harder. They have made a commitment to God, to serve God by feeding the sheep. And they get tempted like everybody else. They got the Bible, and they trying harder. So if Paul says Timothy has to be encouraged, which is what Paul is doing, then how much more the body, the followers? So we all need to take heed to this, just as if Paul was talking to us and not just to Timothy. And so that's in verse 14, picking up in 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling in opposition to science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be to thee. So he's encouraging Timothy to continue on to the profession that he made in Christ Jesus, following Christ, obeying Christ. And the reason why I wanted to talk tonight about this particular subject is because I would think as believers that everybody listens to Christian TV and Christian radio, maybe not every day, all the time, and all, but enough to hear other pastors, right? Have you heard the message repeated many times by other pastors about how good God is? And you can't refute that because the Bible says it. And I wrote down several passages to make their point that God is good. And also they like to point out, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there is one problem. Nothing wrong with preaching about God is good. But there is one problem, and it's not something they say, but it's what's not said. And then the other scripture is God is love, which is also true. God is love. 1 John 4:16, God is love. And there's nothing wrong with preaching that because, you know what? One of the most wonderful feelings you can ever experience in life is being in the presence of God and being touched by his love. It is something so wonderful that it is more valuable than anything on earth that you've ever experienced. It's greater than anything. Probably the greatest thing that most people find in life is a spouse. They love them so much that they marry them. They love them. And and when you're in love, you know, there's a feeling of joy and happiness. And it's just a good feeling, but it's pale. It's very small in comparison to being felt the love of God. It is such an incredible thing. And I believe that all believers have experienced it. That's why they say, I'm going to follow him. We don't experience something bad and then say, I want that. I'm going to go do it. You know, like you don't experience pain and heartache and then say, well, I want more of that. No, you flee from it. You're like, I don't want more of that. What we want more of is what our heart is just bent towards, that belonging, that sense of belonging, that feeling that you're loved and valued by somebody. And God gives that to people. God gives that. That's why the Bible is describes the relationship between God and the church as a marriage. God says that, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the bridegroom and that the church is the bride. And so it speaks in terms of love. It speaks in terms of a marriage. And it's the best feeling in the world. And I can understand why pastors want to preach on how good God is. And I can understand why pastors want to preach on God's love. Because once you've experienced it, you just want to tell people about it. But you know what? There's two sides to the Word of God. It's all the same message, but it actually comes with a warning as well. The world tempts us because Satan tempts us with the things of the world. And the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the lust of this world, he tempts us with things in the world because the flesh likes pleasure. And he can tempt us to sin, to not keep God's commandment, as Paul was telling Timothy to do. He tempts us to do wrong. He tempts us to rebel. His goal, he's a fisherman too. Yes, he always copies whatever God does. And God told us, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisherman of men. And that's what the church does. We go and we share the word so that people can come to know Christ and another soul is won for the kingdom of heaven. And we're called fishermen for doing that. Well, Satan's a fisherman as well in the sense that he fishes to try to get people to do sin and go back into the world and rebel against God and turn their back on God and abandon God. And the reason why he does it, unfortunately, is because it works. And to show you how well temptation works on a person, Satan used that same trick, at least he tried to, on the Lord himself. In Matthew chapter 4, we see in verse 4, after Jesus is led, in Matthew chapter 4, scripture tells us, Jesus is led into the wilderness, and he fasts for 40 days, and the Bible says he was hungry. He was very hungry. Now, Jesus did miracles, right? I mean, he took fish and bread and for a boy, a lunch for a boy, and he multiplied it and he fed thousands, right? That's what the scripture tells us. That was a miracle, all right? He multiplied bread. So Satan tells Jesus, take these stuff. Now, this is before Jesus' ministry, right? This is the beginning of his ministry. So he's just after his water baptism, he's led into the desert to fast. So he hadn't turned any, he hadn't fed the 5,000 yet, he hadn't fed the 7,000 yet. But Satan tells him, when he's very hungry, to take these stones and turn it into bread. And I think that I could have got tripped up in that little temptation there, because like after 40 days, Bible says he was hungry. I get hungry sometimes after 4 hours. So 40 days, I mean, he the Bible basically says he was starving. I mean, it says, it places the emphasis on it. It just doesn't say he's hungry. He said he was hungry. So Satan's telling him, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus responds with scripture and says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the Father's mouth. And so it's just incredible under that type of, you would think that would be weakness when you're hungry, because that's when Satan likes to tempt you, when you're weak so you can fall into sin. You would think under weakness like that, feeling hungry, that he would have just turned the stone into bread. But he was, I'm relying on God to feed me. And so if Satan will use that even on Jesus, who was God in the flesh, and he uses it on the, because it works on the flesh. So Jesus was 100% man, although he was 100% God, he was 100% man, and he felt all the temptations that we feel, and yet he sinned not. So if Satan would use it on Jesus to get him to sin, he certainly will use it on us. So Jesus tells us what to do. He, first of all, he gave us an example. He resisted the temptation, right? That's what he did. Nope. I'm not turning the stones into bread. And then in James chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us to resist the devil. It tells us not to when Jesus was tempted, he didn't listen to the devil, even though it sounded good. The devil was telling him how he could get food. We need to resist Satan, and we need to be able to see what sin is. And I think that's one of the things that trip up Christians really easy, because sin doesn't come packaged in an undesirable package. It comes packaged with glitter all over it. And it looks very alluring, and it looks very desirable. But the sin has a hook in it. And you don't see the hook. All you see is the desirable glitter all over the sin. And you bite, and then you're hooked. You know, like the person that has, you know, that has a problem with alcohol, and they just see the commercial on TV of the people having fun, and they partying, and life's one big happy party if you drink or consume their beverages. And so the next thing you know, they're out the door to the store, and they're going to get some of that, and they just think that they're just going to have one and just be happy and party like that. And the next thing you know, they're drunk. And the next thing you know, whatever. This would be a problem, a person with a problem with alcohol. Next thing you know, they can't make it to work the next day. Next thing you know, see, this is the hook, you know, he's got you now. If you're an alcoholic, you know, you stay away from alcohol forever. Drugs, everything, you know. But it comes packaged with glitter, and we in the flesh will fall for it. So what do? We resist. Jesus said that we need to resist temptation. Jesus said that, Matthew 26:41, let me turn there. So give me one second here. Actually, I must have left my Bible in the car. So I'll go this way. But anyway, so Jesus told us to pray. Jesus told us that the way we resist temptation is by prayer. So we want to remember to have a regular prayer life. We don't want to neglect a prayer time. We want a regular prayer life in the morning, at night, whenever, and pray that God would give you discernment to make the right decisions to resist temptation. Because we don't always see it because of the glitter. Sometimes it's hard to tell that this is sin, stay away from it. It seems people will could be a tough one, but people will go after the wrong person looking for a mate. People will think that this person is the right person because they show so much affection to me and I love them and that's the right person. Well, you know, you gotta have discernment, you know. If you're a believer, first thing that you need to do is always, don't be unequally yoked. The scripture tells you always find another believer. And so, and then, you know, there's other things to consider as well. That would be the most important one. Don't be unequally yoked. But when it comes to relationships, the more things people have in common, the stronger a relationship is. And so, so anyway, you pray. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's looking, searching for a spouse, or whether it's just things of the world, being tempted to do wrong, lie, steal, whatever it is. You have to have a regular prayer life so that you can resist the temptation when it comes. So this is what Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the flesh can be tempted if you're not watching and praying. The flesh can give in and sin, go out, bite the hook, thinking that it's some glittering prize that you're getting when it's a lot of trouble and headaches. I think that makes the point clear between what we call to do, obey God. We are in a battle. Satan kind of constantly tempts us to sin. The way to win that battle is to resist the temptation, pray to God, go to the Father. What I wanted to say is that the message you hear when you hear someone teaching about the love of God and the goodness of God, I think I made it clear that those are wonderful things. Those scriptures are true, and that is a wonderful thing to experience. But the message that is not spoken but picked up on, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, is that I am not accountable. He loves me, and I'm going to heaven. And that is a message that's false. We are accountable. God tells us that there is a judgment day. Books will be open. If your name is not in the book of life, you don't enter into heaven. There are books where all our deeds are recorded, for good, for bad, and these we will have to give an account of them. So it's, and then of course the scripture tells us that we're to fear God. That's another important thing. Not because God is an evil dictator, or God's a tyrant, or God says, it's my world, so it's my way or the highway. That's not why we fear God. Let me just give you an example out of the natural, and then I'll make it really clear why we need to fear God, even though God is love. So think of authority for a minute. I was driving down West Napoleon, and the speed limit is 35 miles an hour. And there was a car in front of me, and he was going a little bit faster because I was going a little bit faster. So I was behind him. There's like three car lengths between us, but he must have been doing about 45 because I was doing 45. So I was speeding, and then we're in the left lane. And then as we go down the road a ways, all of a sudden we see a car in the right lane, and it's a police car, a cop car. So he slows down a little, and I slow down a little. You know why we slowed down? Because, well, I was behind him, but even if I wasn't, I would have slowed down. The reason why we slowed down is because we fear the consequences. But you know what? If that cop would have pulled into the gas station, and I pulled in the gas station to get gas, I wouldn't have feared him. I would have got out and got my car. I feared the consequences of breaking the law in front of him. Not because he's an evil cop and I need to fear him, but he has authority and he can make my life a little bit difficult by giving me a ticket and giving me whatever, you know, maybe, you know, sometimes things go really bad. Next thing you know, you're in jail because you, whatever. But anyway, that's what the fear is of his authority, and to me, to rebel against that authority. That's why the person in front of me slowed down. That's why I slowed down. And let me show you what happens when you don't fear the authority. So we're going down the road, Now we're all doing 35, and the person in front of me, because the cop's doing 35, nobody wants to pass the cop. And after about a mile down the road, the guy in front of me had enough of it, and he took off. You know what happened? Woo! The lights came, pulled him over just like that. And I went, and I just kept going. But there is a consequence for not fearing authority, and there is a consequence for not fearing the ultimate authority. And we don't fear God because he's evil. Scripture tells us he's good. Scripture tells us God is love. We fear God to rebel against him and go against his authority and basically snub our nose at him and tell him that we'll decide what's right and wrong and not you, and then we'll see you in heaven. No, it don't work that way. So that's the other side of the coin, and that's what bothers me. I really enjoy the messages on God is good and God is love, but I want to hear both sides. I want to hear that there's also a warning for rebelling against God. I want to hear that I need to fight the good fight, that I need to resist temptation because it's going to come. And then one last thing I would say is that we need to give it some thought. You know, when you go to school and the teacher instructs you, and then, David, there's tests, right? It comes the test day, right? Let's see how much they've been paying attention. Let's see what they learned. You know, I say Dave because, you know, he was a school teacher. But anyway, so you ever thought about God is testing us? And the reason why I say that is because when you look at Matthew chapter 4, and they read about the temptation of Christ, it said the Spirit led him into the desert. He was led there by God to be tempted of the devil. So if the Son of Man, God himself, can be led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil, then I can't help but wonder if times, maybe it's just God's way of showing us, look how much you've grown when you resist, or when you fail, you still got some more growing to do. But Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. And so I believe at times the Lord will allow the Spirit to lead us into temptation so that, like the Lord says, he makes a way out. You know, no temptation that's not common among us. We all have the same temptation, and the Lord will make a way out of it. So, something to think about, something to consider as we go through this journey here on earth, looking for that day when we leave this world and we're forever with the Lord, and we finally come to an end of the trials of this fleshly body in this world. So fight the good fight, continue in faith, and remember the Lord loves us. He loves us with all his heart, but also we want to never rebel against him. All right, saints of God, with that, I'm going to end, and I'm going to close in a prayer. So let's go before the Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for that presence, Lord, that fills us, Lord, that your Spirit that fills us, and that we get to experience the joy and the peace of being in your presence, Lord, and that love that comes from you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord. It strengthens us, Lord. It makes us strong in our faith towards you, Lord. And it puts a desire in our heart to want to please you and serve you and do what's right. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Father, we just lift up the sick among us again, Lord. Father, just touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Father, there's other ailments, Lord. Father, just those who are diabetics, Lord, just touch them, Lord. It seems to be an epidemic these days, Lord, diabetes, Lord. Father, just heal their bodies, Lord. Heal their bodies, Father. Arthritis, Lord, another one that seems to be epidemic, Lord. Just touch their bodies, Lord, all that are suffering from these ailments, Lord. Father, lift up Becky, Lord, and just pray, Lord, that you would just touch her body, Lord, and put strength in it, Lord, and command those muscles, Lord, to work. Yes. And give it the ability to stand up and walk and even run, Lord. Yes. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. And all that are suffering, Lord, those who have vision problems, Lord, touch their eyes, Lord, so they can throw away their glasses, Lord. Yes. Father, give them clear vision, Lord. Give them 20/20 vision, Father. And hearing, Lord. Restore any loss of hearing, Father. Among this aging group that comes together here, Lord, we... you know, the body tends to have its problems as we age, Lord. Just touch them, Lord. Put strength in them, Lord. Give them the ability to function like they were in their prime, Lord. 30 years old, Lord. And give them the ability, no matter how many years they have, give them the health of what they had in their prime, Lord, as they serve you, Lord, as they serve you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Lord, one last thing, Father, protect everybody on the road home, Lord. Get them to their houses safely. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I think.